Franci, thank you very much for the introduction. So welcome to all of you to our Q3 conference call on CropEnergies' 9 months results. We wish you all a happy new year and all the best for 2023. So what is on the agenda today? Let's get started in the presentation that you have found on our website on page 2. The slide is called Highlights. So here you see the agenda, what we intend to discuss with you today. So we will start with politics and discuss what is new in the field of politics on EU level. We will discuss market developments, so volumes and prices. We will have a look into the financials for the first 9 months. You will see that 9 months results are very positive. We will also have to look into Q3 isolated and discuss the outlook for the current financial year, which is precise and confirmed. And we will give you a short update on the strategy, and here in particular on our project for the renewable ethylacetate. After these presentations, we will have a Q&A session, and I'm happy to have Heike Baumbach here with me, and together we will answer your questions. So let's move on to the first topic, which is politics. What is new on the political scene in Europe? The first point on the graph is the Commission's proposal. This is not new. This is from July 2021, and it's just as a reminder, here, the European Commission, who works on the RED III file, that means the Renewable Energy Directive III, proposes a greenhouse gas reduction target for the transport sector of 13% by 2030, which replaces the energy quota under RED II scheme of 14%. So this is unchanged. You are all aware of that. What is also in the COM proposal is that the crop-based biofuels cap shall be the 2020 members level reached in each member state, plus 1%, but not more than 7%. So this is unchanged, and also, for example, targets for advanced biofuels. What happened after this COM proposal? So closely 1 year later, the European Council is declared generally aligned with this proposal. And then the third in the trilogue is the European Parliament, and they given their vote on 12th September. And they are largely in line with the proposal. There are still debates ongoing, and one differentiator is that they call for a higher greenhouse gas reduction quota, and they claim for 16% instead of 13% proposed by the Commission. So this is a clear positive sign, aiming for higher biofuels blendings. So the trilogue is ongoing, and this is the only thing that is new when compared to when we spoke last time. So there is some delay. This couldn't be closed by end of December, so the file is handed over to the next presidency, which is the Swedish one. What are our key messages to the co-legislators in this context? We support the Parliament's position with a claim for a higher greenhouse gas reduction target of 16%. This is also in line with what EPURE, the European Ethanol Association, claims for. We clearly defend the point to maintain crop-based biofuels, the crop cap, as it is a solid foundation for less greenhouse gas emissions in transport. And all in all, we demand or claim for a more level playing field in transport by removing those proposed artificial multipliers for certain biofuels and electricity. You might have noticed that recently Federal Agriculture Minister Özdemir once more positioned himself against biofuels. This is very annoying and really not understandable, and we fully oppose to his arguments. You can find the arguments also on the BDBE website. We are not in line with those positions, as we continue to show and to give facts and figures that biofuels contribute significantly to CO2 reductions. We deliver proteins for this protein deficit in Europe. We decrease by using biofuels, we decrease the dependency on energy imports, for example, Russian oil. And all in all, biofuels contribute to a lot of political fields. So, and this has also been, we do not want to reopen the discussions. That is largely done, and you can find all the information on our website. But what is interesting in this context, that there has been a Now, it's difficult to translate that to English. There has been a Kleine Anfrage, that means a parliamentary demand questionnaire to the government by the Conservative Party in the Bundestag, CDU-CSU. That was done mid of December and answered by the government, and you can find it on the webpage. And there's, for example, question 20 aimed for asking what is planned by the government in the context of the Bundesemissionsschutzgesetz. That means it's especially the law who governs the blending of biofuels. And the answer of the government was that there's no change planned. So we urge politicians and the government to stop this cacophony, and there must be a clear positive signs for biofuels. The second point on politics scene that I want to discuss with you is the, you find that on page 5, this is the new CO2 targets for cars. So there has been an agreement in the trilogue, we can say, reached on 27th of October. It's a de facto ban of the internal combustion engine by 2035, which I deem to be not a very good political decision. So what is behind? The European Parliament and the Council, they agree on the comp proposal on increased CO2 emission targets for cars. So the reduction shall be minus 55% for cars and 50% for vans by 2030 compared to 2021 levels, and minus 100% by 2035. And this is a de facto ban of the combustion engine. And as we have also claimed and then discussed with you in recent quarterly calls, we deem this to be a bad decision because the problem is not the internal combustion engine, but it is when it burns fossil fuels. Yeah, but there are better solutions, and with biofuels and higher biofuels blendings and synthetic fuels, we can also make the internal combustion engine climate neutral. So our assessment is that this is a clear violation of the principle of technology openness and neutrality. It's not okay that only tailpipe emissions are taken into account, and all the emissions from battery electric cars, for example, if the energy is not fully green, are completely ignored. So we demand for a life cycle analysis. This has been proposed to be done by 25 by the COM, but this is still only a small door opener, and we will see how things will progress. In this context, I just give you, ask or invite you to see some facts and figures. I mean, the government interest is to have 50 million battery electric cars by 2030. I doubt whether this will work out, but we will see. Yesterday there was the Autogipfel, and they clearly have shown that there are huge problems in putting this into place, be it the loading infrastructure, being the grid stability, be it the availability of raw materials. A lot of those raw materials needed for this technology have to be imported, so increasing dependency from certain states. And what is interesting to see, if you have a look, Deloitte just published a study, which in asking, it is called Global Automotive Consumer Study 2023. And they, amongst other issues, they asked consumers what is about their buying interest for cars for those. And there it came out that in Germany, for example, only 16% of people who want to buy a new car would like to go for a battery electric car. And the vast majority still is looking for cars with an internal combustion engine, be it pure, be it as a hybrid, or be it as a plug-in hybrid. So this is to be seen. Facts and figures is that there are right now 49 million cars on the street, and they have to give a contribution to CO2 reduction, and the best way to do that is with biofuels. So let's move on to market development. What's new on the markets? You will find this on page 7. I would start with the graph on the right-hand side. Here you can see that ethanol consumption in EU27 in UK was up 5% compared to 2021, though this is positive. When it comes to the outlook for the current of year 2023, we see stability. So in total, it's a slight increase. When it comes to fuel, we assume, or markets assume, a slight decrease, but all in all, quite stable market environment for fuel consumption. Production compared to last year is 1% down. E10 progresses well, so it's the number one petrol in many European countries. We see strong growth for ethanol, particularly in France, Sweden, and the U.K. Positive to say that also the E10 market share in Germany also increased. You can always find this data on the BAFA web page, and here you can see that in October, market share of E10 in Germany has grown to 24.3%. There you also find, and this is positive also when we discuss later on prices, we see that there's good demand for gasoline in total. That means for mobility and for ethanol. So year to date in Germany, gasoline consumption was up close to 5%, and ethanol consumption also up by 2.4% year-over-year. That means for the first months year to date, October. Let's have a look on the prices. And herefore, we have two graphs. One is on the right bottom side, comparing the different regions in the world with the ethanol price. And then on the next page, you will find the ethanol price development over the last three business years. So this is an unpleasant situation. Prices have decreased significantly. This is a matter of concern. What we have seen during the year is a huge price differentiator between the EU prices and U.S. and Brazilian prices. That's the graph on the right bottom side. And those market differences made it interesting to import into Europe. And we have seen so strong imports, especially from Brazil and the U.S. And in total for 2022, imports assumed to be in the range of 2.3 million cubic meters. So this is much more than the years before. And this had put a significant pressure on prices. Let's have a look on the next slide. Continue with the ethanol prices. So this meant in the course of the third quarter, we have seen a price drop on the market prices going to 882 euros per cubic meter from over 1,000 euros in the prior year's quarter. So linked to the import pressure. You can see that on the right-hand graph. So a strong decrease. This is an unpleasant situation. When it comes to the feedstock market, here we can see that's the right bottom graph. We can see that prices have decreased. That is positive over the last month, but they are still on a quite a high level. So if you look at MATIF quotations for the next expiry dates, we are still in the field of 280-290 euros per ton. Nevertheless, when we look at the fundamentals, the EU grant grain harvest still exceeds consumptions. When it comes on a worldwide level, we also see a slight decline, but nevertheless, a strong figure with the worldwide production of grains in the field of 2.255 million tons. We continue with the next market, which is important for bioethanol producers and CropEnergies. That is the energy markets. You find that on page number nine. And if we also start with the graphs on the right-hand side, we can see that gas prices have decreased significantly. That is positive. So we have reached prior year's areas for the prices. This is linked to the fact that, for example, in Germany, the first floating LNG terminals are installed. The imports are on a high level. It has also helped that we have very warm temperatures. So this eases the import needs, but I think also the sentiment. And so overall, we see in Europe high storage levels, and that gives relief on the pricing. So all in all, I deem this as a positive sign because if this is to continue, this brings down the nervous sentiment. It could help to deflate the inflation pressure and thus also giving, maybe if this is to continue, less pressure on the interest rate increases, which have been increased recently significantly. Let's have a look into the financials. We start with the nine-month period for financial year 2022-23. You find that on page 11. So all in all, you can see this is a very strong nine months. It's the best we ever had. All the key metrics are in positive. So I start with production, which is 4% up, reaching 811 million cubic meters. Turnover is even stronger, up by 51%, reaching 1.177 million. So over 1 billion in turnover. That's very, very positive. When it comes to the profit metrics, for example, operating profit, which is our key metric, we reached in 9 months a operating profit of 235 million euros, which is a very strong figure, the best we ever had for 9 months. And so all in all, also for this entire financial year, but I will come back to the outlook later on, we go for the fourth record year in a row. So all in all, this also finds reflect in the cash position. So by the end of 9 months figures, we have a cash position of 366 million euros. We can see the details later on, or you also find them in the detailed quarterly report. The question is, how can this very positive earnings situations be explained? So there are several factors positive affecting the earnings situation. So one is the higher productions and thus higher sales volumes, because what we produce, we have sold. So this is up by 4 to 5%. We see especially higher ethanol prices over the 9 months period. So they are strongly up, and together with the volumes effect, this led to a revenues increase of 51%. On the other side, which is the burden, we see higher raw material costs, we see higher personal costs, we see higher energy costs, and this is a burden. But the ethanol price for the 9 months period could overcompensate those cost increases. On the next slide, which is slide number 12, we have a dedicated look on the third quarter isolated, and you can see that is also it was a good quarter, but it was lower than the Q1 and Q2 of this financial year, and was about on equal level than Q3 in prior year's period. You can see ethanol production was down by 12% to 228,000 cubic meters from 258,000 cubic meters in Q3 prior year. This is linked to maintenance and also adopting capacity utilization to market conditions. All in all, we came out with revenues of 328 million euros and an operating profit almost exactly on the same level than Q3 prior year, reaching this Q3 the level of 55.7 million euros. On the next page, you find Q3 more detailed. It's page number 13. And on the graph on the right-hand side, you can see the effect, what I just explained verbally. We can see that Q3 is on the same level than Q3 prior year. Very good figure, but compared to Q1 and Q2 of this financial year, it is a decline compared to those very successful quarters. All in all, we came out with a gross spread of 84.5 million euros. You can see that there's an increase in the further operating expenses and income. So if you would like to see the details, it's in the quarterly report on page 22. And here you can see that we have different effects. Raw material costs are up due to higher raw material prices. Also, personal expenses are up due to the fact that we, given the new strategy and executing the new strategy, we have an increase in FTE and also an increase linked to profit-linked bonuses for CE employees. Other costs are also up, like for sales and also for energy, but you can also see that there's a strong increase in other income, and this is linked to derivatives income, which are outside the hedge accounting. So all in all, all other cost position, operating expenses and income have increased from 24 million in prior year's quarter to 18 million this quarter. So at the end, we came out with almost exactly the same operating profit like Q3 prior year. Let's move back to the 9 months figures and have a look on what is below operating profit. You find that on page 14. So restructuring costs and special items are zero. There's nothing to be mentioned. At equity result is slightly positive. This is the at equity result of our joint venture in the field of CO2 liquefaction. So income from operations turn out almost at the same level as operating profit. Financial result is positive, turning from -2.0 billion to +1.8 billion euro. There are two effects, but we have also discussed in the prior quarters. We always can have unrealized currency effects due to the fluctuations, British pound to euro. That's one effect. And the second effect is that we, as given the high cash position that we have and the increased interest rate environment, we have a positive income on interest income. So this helps to bring up financial results to positive. Taxes, tax rate, so taxes income came out at -57 million euro, and thus the tax rate decreased to 24%. Earnings per share increased significantly to 2.07 euros. On the next page, I continue with the cash flow. You can also see that it's not only the profit figures which are strong, cash flow is also strong. So the cash inflow, we start at 208 million euros. There's almost in this period no change in net working capital. So the net cash from operating activities turned out very strong at 210 million euros. You can see that investments in property, plant, and equipment is higher than prior year's period. So roughly 30 million have been invested in the first 9 months. So this is linked particularly to the new biomass, the second biomass boiler at our plant at BioVence. You can see that there is investments in financial assets. That's the project that we have already announced where we took participations in other companies like LXP, Syclus, and EastEnergy. So in the field of second generation and photovoltaic and ethylene projects. If we combine or add the other cash flow components for financing and investing, we turned out to globally at a net financial asset position of 366 billion euros. As I stated in prior year's quarterly reports, it is a solid ground for having the cash flow available for executing our strategy and to be invested into the new projects. Before coming to strategy, I close the financial section with the outlook for the current financial year. As you know, we close our books by the end of February. So our original outlook was stated in August 2022. So we substantiated this outlook. That means we confirm it as of today and we precised it. What we did is we narrowed the bands and kept the midpoint unchanged. So we assume for this business year revenues to range between 1.47 billion-1.57 billion euros. That means midpoint roughly 1.5 billion and operating profit in the range of 225 million-255 million euros, meaning that midpoint unchanged 240 million euros. What are the assumptions for the remainder of the business year? We still believe in a continued normalized mobility behavior, as I have already explained. So there's positive demand for mobility and thus for gasoline and ethanol. What is difficult is always the effects of the Ukraine war. That's difficult to assess. There are always news which could affect, be it energy markets or availabilities and change. But nevertheless, we assume that there will be sufficient energy and raw materials needed for production. But the further availability and the price development on the energy markets are still very difficult to be predicted. And we have to also be prepared for news on that. And going forward, you can see clearly that if after 9 months we came out with an operating profit of 235 and this guidance, it's clear that Q4 is burdened or is less positive than the quarters before. And we see that there's continued pressure on the earnings side due to high energy and raw material costs, with at the same time declining prices for ethanol. Last but not least, let's have a look on strategy. I have explained to you in all the quarters our strategy. This is completely unchanged, and I would like just to give you an update on the renewable ethyl acetate project, because we can now give a green light for the new plant, so the decision is positively taken. We will use, as already announced, the Johnson Matthey technology for this plant. What we did in the meantime, we concluded the basic engineering in time and as planned, and came out positive results, giving then green light for the investment decision. What we had to do is to increase the CapEx assumption. So previously, we have assumed this plant to be in the range of 80 million-100 million euros, but given the strong prices increase on all commodities and markets over this year, because our initial assumption was based 1 year ago, and now we have seen, as you're all aware, due to inflation and price pressure in all commodities, we assume the CapEx to be in the field of 120 million-130 million. So this is the new information. What has not changed, that we still target for return on capital employed for this project, but we do that for all of our projects of 15%. It is planned to have here the climate neutral production of 50,000 tons of ethyl acetate per year. And just as a reminder, ethyl acetate is a base chemical, a solid that is used in many, many day-to-day products. So the investment located will be located in the Zeitz Chemical Park, so very close, 6 kilometers from our Zeitz bioethanol production, and creating approximately 50 jobs for highly skilled employees. The groundbreaking is to take place in early 2024, and commissioning and then ramp up of the production starting in summer 2025. So this is new on our renewable ethyl acetate project. On the last slide, you find our strategy. This is unchanged. So CropEnergies, we have a clear strategy going forward. CropEnergies is committed in executing this strategy. Whenever, also right now, there's prices pressure on the price side or also political headwind that can happen, the overall idea is always true and good. This is we deliver green carbons. We have to fight climate change, and we have to do all that we can do, use every technology that helps to let fossil energy sources like fuel and gas in the ground. And there's a lot that we can do with innovation from biomass. So we will continue for our future with projects for sustainability and climate neutrality. We will continue in our core business with this first and second generation ethanol. We will build up this new business field, which helps us to bring ethanol to base chemicals with a much lower CO2 footprint, like ethyl acetate and ethylene. We will work on CO2 as a raw material of the future, and also we will continue to work on our protein products. And as we already communicated the investments in East Energy, we will continue to build up photovoltaic projects. So we have already communicated during the last calendar year four projects: ethyl acetate, Cyclus for ethylene, LXP for second generation, and East Energy for solar. All of those projects progress well, and we are very happy with the development in those projects. There are additional projects in the pipeline, and for sure, we will continuously keep you in the loop and inform you if there's major developments in these projects. So this was the presentation so far on our nine-month figures and the strategy outlook. We are now very happy, Heike, myself, to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. Anyone who has a question may press followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. We have the first question from Mr. Hartmut Moers from Matelan Research. Your question, please.
Yes, good morning. The first question is with regard to your results for the three-month period that you reported. I mean, from my perspective, I think results were quite strong.
Sorry, can you speak a little bit louder? Hartmut, can you speak a little bit louder? Now we've lost you.
Hello?
Now we can hear you.
Okay, sorry. I start again. I mean, from my perspective, the 3 months you reported were quite strong in view of the price development that you've seen for ethanol and also the wheat price. According to what I've seen so far, there's two effects in there. The first one is the rather low production, which has led to, well, lower sales, obviously, but over proportionally declining material costs. Is that a factor that came by, let's say, coincidence, or was that a strategic decision to make a maintenance at sites that might probably have higher costs? So is that a sign of some the flexibility that you have in your business model to adjust production according to market developments in more difficult situations in order to enhance results? So that's the first one. And the second one is with regard to your other operating results. You've already highlighted gains from derivatives that are not part of the hedge accounting. And I would guess that there is some 10 million in gains. Is that a fair guess, or
is there what it
is?
Can you repeat
Sorry,
the last part of your question?
In your other operating
Yeah, that was clear.
results.
Just the last phrase I didn't get.
I would guess there is a gain of some 10 million coming from derivatives. Is that a fair assumption, or is there some other effects in there?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for this question. We start with that. You're right. So production in Q3 was lower, 12% compared to prior year's quarter. And there are two effects. One was technical maintenance, and the other one is always what we always can do. It's in all of our plants, we can adapt to market conditions. And seeing decreased prices, and also we adopted the capacity utilization. So it's both. It's technical maintenance and our capacity to adapt to market conditions. And if you're right, operating result was positively affected in Q3 by the derivatives out of hedge accounting, and this is in the field of 11 million euros.
Okay, that's fine. I've also noted that your receivables and also payables are down quite significantly compared to the previous quarter, so Q2 compared to or the half year period compared to the 9 month period. Is there something special in there? Is that jumping back to a more normal level, or are you now staying at the level, or will we see in the coming quarter the continuation of this trend? Because ultimately it should lead to an additional cash inflow.
Receivables are linked to prices. There's nothing extraordinary. It follows the price trend.
Okay. And payables follow the price trend on the wheat side, you're saying?
It is continuous. So the production and sales are in line. So there's, as you see, there's not much changes in working capital. So no, this is all in line. It just follows the sales at the price trend.
Okay. The third one is with regard to your guidance. I mean, looking at prices for ethanol and wheat for the first quarter, I would assume that you're still, in particular, in view of the sales and revenues and profit you make from your byproducts, you would still be in a position to produce a, let's say, significant positive result in the fourth quarter. Given the midpoint of your guidance, you only leave 5 million for the fourth quarter. So is that a very conservative stance that you're taking here, or are you expecting additional burdens, for example, in with regard to positive derivative effects, could turn into negative derivative effects in the fourth quarter. So should we price in some additional decline here, or is it just a conservative guidance you're still giving?
Yeah, typically we have conservative guidance. Yeah, we look into the markets, we do our assumptions. When at this point of time in a business year, the effect of raw materials is not so significant. But there are two points that we have to keep in mind. One is energy costs. I mean, so far the winter has been mild, but spot energy prices in winter can turn out very quickly to higher levels if weather conditions turn out to be very, very cold. So this is one effect we want to be prepared. And the second one is really the ethanol price, which, I mean, if you look into the forward curves, it's a contango situation, so they assume a increase in ethanol prices. But even in the last days, we have seen a strong volatility. So some days it goes up 40-50 euros, next way down. So it's to be prepared also to a continuous pressure on the ethanol prices, which we do not fully are convinced, because there are also good arguments for increased prices. But I would say it's a conservative approach. And
Okay, but there's nothing special, there's no
one-off item that we take into account. It is focused on energy cost situation and volatility, okay, and ethanol price, yes, volatility.
But you're not yet at a point where you're hedged at a higher level, which now is turning negative?
No. Nothing special.
Okay, fine. With regard to your balance sheet, I've noticed you've basically recovered some cash from Südzucker. You've also taken some financing. I would guess that all this is in conjunction with the ethyl acetate project that you're currently undertaking, and this is a sign for, you know, the progress and the preparations you're making for making this project happen. Is that a fair view?
I mean, this has nothing to do with the ethyl acetate project. So we have a net cash position, and this is invested in different tranches. So we have cash internally with Südzucker. We have cash externally at term deposits. We have commercial papers. There's no particular link with the ethyl acetate project. Or did I misunderstand the question?
No, but what I've seen, the receivables position with regard to Südzucker, so the longer term receivables have come down quite significantly. So I would have guessed, and if that's wrong, just let me know, that the cash that you give to Südzucker is now returning. You now have the cash back on your own account in order to be available to, you know, make the payments that are currently coming up. But if that's not the case.
It's nothing particular, because also in the past those volumes have already been at short term notice, so there's no special news. Okay. There's if you see the group financing structure, Südzucker has launched an ESG linked green bond. So we do the financing in a group financing. So we have those different tranches and. Nothing special.
Okay, it's not related.
Everything is short term available.
Okay, then final point from my side is with regard to politics. You've mentioned two issues, and there's just two follow-ups. So the first one is with regard to the statement of Mr. Özdemir. Last time when we had a statement from the Greens coming from Ms. Lemke, the whole effort had been blocked by the FDP. Do you see a change in that position now, or has something changed fundamentally? So far we know the Greens would love to further cut the quota, but so far they haven't progressed. Is there any change in the position of the FDP?
No, there's no, to our knowledge, there's no change. The Federal Minister for Transport, Wissing, he clearly stated, and that for reaching the CO2 targets for transport, biofuels are needed. They cannot do without biofuels. So there's no change to our knowledge from the transport minister or the FDP position. And as I said, interesting to see that the government position, the official government position, black and white in the answer to the CDU Fraktion in the Kleine Anfrage, clear shows there's nothing planned to be changed. So I really have difficulties in understanding why Özdemir continuously does those things which are not in line with the government position. And I do not understand this, as I call it, even cacophony. This is difficult to understand. And but I deem this to be a minority voice.
Okay. And with regard to the delay on the EU level with regard to the RED III decision, is there anything visible or in a new time schedule to be expected? When could we see a final approval of the RED III?
Yeah, I mean, there are some delays, but there are the next meetings are planned. But it would have been an ambitious task to close the file because it's quite quite complex by end of December. Okay, they couldn't do it. Maybe now it's end of March, so it's not a significant delay, but it is a certain delay of some months.
Okay, but we're looking to spring, not summer.
Yeah. It's technical discussions that they have. In the major points, they are not so far away. So I think a compromise between the three can be found quickly. So that's why we assume could be end of March. But nevertheless, it's a thick file, so a lot of detailed things need to be clarified and written down. So it's technical work. From the positions, there's no major blocking point to my mind.
Okay, great. That's it from my side. Thank you very much. It was very helpful.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. It seems to be no further questions at the moment, and I hand back to Stefan Meder for closing comments.
Then, thank you, Francie, for facilitating the call. I do thank you all for your interest. Keep safe. All the best for you. Then we close the 9 months conference call. And next is then the Q4 figures for the full entire year. So all the best for you, and thank you very much. Goodbye.